The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, she will guide you into all the truth, for she will not speak on her own, but will speak whatever she hears, and she will declare to you the things that are to come. She will glorify me, because she will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that she will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord.
I guess you heard that I messed with the pronouns. And I intend to do it again. But first, I'd like to begin from a particular verse in Psalm 8. And you did hear it sung. I'm going to read it again so that you have it fresh in your mind. What is man that you should be mindful of him? The son of man that you should seek him out? I'm going to try and put myself in the footsteps of primitive human beings. That is, before there was religion, if there was such a time. And at the same time, I'm going to try and put myself in the footsteps of current non-religious human beings, since that is quite pervasive in our culture. And I think for both of those, the question is not, what is man that you should be mindful of him? What is the human that you should be mindful of them? The question is actually, what is God? Or who is God that we should be mindful of them? That's the prior question before there's any religion. Who is God that we would be mindful that there even is God? And I know it's hypothetical, but if you can try and imagine yourself in that place, what if you had never thought of the idea of God? What kinds of prompts would make you wonder about that? And I've thought of a few, and it's not an exhaustive list. Maybe by me saying the ones I've thought of, you'll think of something that would prompt you to think of the existence of God. The first one that came to me is nature. And it may be because we're in a beautiful part of the earth, and we're in a capital city with lots of parks. Nature is readily there, so close to us. And so maybe it's nature where that would prompt you to say, is there something more? And in fact, one of our well-known hymns takes us there. It's How Great Thou Art. And the first two verses, that's exactly where it begins, with this idea of a possibility of God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And the second verse homes in even more. I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. It's as if the wonder and beauty of nature is the prompt for us to see and recognize the something more. That we would go from the question, what is the human, to the question of what is God, and then back to the question, what is the human that God would be mindful of us, becomes praise because of that prompt. There are some other ones. We've had a few funerals over the past weeks and months, and I'm thinking about death and talking to people as they want to do a funeral and remember their loved ones. There's a place in there that's very close to seeing the person again, and the person isn't really gone. You hear it very often from the people who are planning a funeral. And maybe you've had that yourself, where at the time of a death, you're in that question or even that confidence that this is not over, your relationship with that person. Then there's birth. I think particularly of fathers in the delivery room seeing everything happen. Or, as also hinted at in that hymn, looking up at the stars and wondering how many worlds there are, and what an impossible combination it has been that there should be life on this particular planet. Becomes the question of, is there more behind this? And the confidence about, yeah, there is. Whatever the prompt for you, it's a question of, is this all there is? And whether it's death or stars, there's a moment where many people come into a kind of personal theory or idea of what they think it's all about and how it works. Some people even have very bizarre ideas about it. And then when people come together in groups and share these ideas, they come to a shared story. And then because humans are endlessly inventive, or entrepreneurial, or no small amount of ego there, people split off into different approaches. And some of those have dead ends, and some of them are life-giving, and we all learn from them. St. Anselm, a theologian from the Middle Ages, called this faith seeking understanding. That was his definition for theology. And to put it a little, the bigger quote, an active love of God seeking a deeper knowledge of God. I wonder if what ends up happening is people are in that open place and a prompt happens to them, and then they're thinking about it. They're looking for a place where they can explore it. And they fall in love with a community or a concept and approach that has a community gathered around it. And they enjoy that they're not asking questions alone. And maybe they even enjoy that there are new questions they never thought to ask. And then we end up casting our lot with the beliefs of a particular group. And it isn't just about the beliefs, it's about the people we're with. And we don't stop thinking or seeking understanding, but we move further into St. Anselm's quote, "For I do not see to understand so that I may believe, I believe so that I may understand." And then we're in it, and we're trying to figure out, well, how does this belief system work in this community that I want to be part of, so that I can understand it better? I think once our heartstrings are pulled by community or a shared approach, we're ready to take a risk and jump into the pool of baptism of a particular way of thinking. And if you're here, that is, St. John's here, Maybe it's because you like the particular slant or understanding, faith-seeking understanding, that gets expressed here. Or you admire the people who are here for their approach or for their humanity. You love them. Or maybe you love this community and then you find that you want to know about the wider movement that it's a part of. So that when you go to Canterbury Cathedral and you feel small under those soaring arches and you hear the heavenly voices of the boys' choir, you can say, I'm part of this big thing too. Now, how do I understand this big thing that I want to feel like I belong to? There's been some changes in how people talk about the process of coming to belong. One contemporary theologian has articulated it in a way that I found really helpful. It's an American theologian, Diana Butler Bass. And she says that we used to have a progression that you believe what the church believes, then you behave how the church behaves, and then you belong. And she says that in this non-religious era, that paradigm needs to be turned on its head, and what happens is people long to belong. They've been prompted by the stars or nature or a death or beauty, and they long to belong, and then they appear and they want to figure out, well, should I receive communion? How do I hold my hands if I want to do it? What do I do? And so it's not behave in the sense of behave properly. It's how do I do this stuff? And then belief is a lifetime. There are things that you question even to the very end. Belief is a journey. That's what Diana Butler Bass says, and I find it really helpful. But it doesn't matter which of those dynamics would describe you. One of the steps in there is belief. It's the community's collective faith that has been handed down, and the ways that we experience mystery, the prompts that get us to pay attention to a bigger mystery, get described in this community as one great reality that has three facets: the Father, the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Spirit, also which we read of as wisdom in that first reading. This community of St. John's describes that one greater reality. We have our particular way. We have the desire to be inclusive, including in our language. We have active participation in justice, love of the arts, and the warm intimacy of long friendship journeys into which others are invited. If you've been watching as Barton Breen has filled out the history behind some of the plaques in the church, you'll know that there's an unbroken web of relationships that go back to some of those names that are forgotten by us, but the web was and is there. We enter into long friendships in this particular place. So I deliberately used the word she about the Spirit in that reading to express something you care about here. We're part of a larger tradition that has shared creeds and even has a diversity of approaches, including some approaches that would make you uncomfortable. But isn't that like any family where some extended relatives say things and you don't quite agree with everything they say? It's that particular tradition of which we are a part that sets aside today to move from the question, who is God, that we should be mindful of them, to the declaration, who is the human that God would be mindful of us? And we say it as praise. We're still all the other things we were, questioning, struggling, experiencing that more in stars or nature or here. But if we start from the human perception, we move to the wonder of who God is. And that's our celebration today. Amen.